Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all our friends, our visitors, our members. Welcome to Atonement Lutheran Church. And together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin today the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Please join me. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Oh,
who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, knowing and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
You may be seated.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength, and
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you teach us that without love, our actions gain nothing.
Pour into our hearts the most excellent gift of love, that made alive by your Spirit, we may know goodness and peace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children forward for a children's sermon. And we don't have anyone in our audience today. They're all doing children things in the world. So welcome, my children. Well, we get a great text today about a sheep being descended from heaven and a bunch of animals in it. And it's very confusing, and we don't quite understand what's going on. So I wanted have an illustration of what I think is happening in our text. But the question is, does love narrow or does love expand? What do you think?
Expands.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think that's what the Bible is trying to tell us. Sometimes, though, we think love narrows. And meaning, if I only do enough, then maybe I can. If I've done enough, then I can be loved. And so I want to, but that's not what the Bible is saying. That's not what God is saying. God is just saying, you're loved. And love expands. So I wanted to illustrate this point with this piece of paper. Who believes that you can step through this piece of paper? Any takers? I know I had a kid here, I went, challenge them to step through this piece of paper. Seems kind of impossible. Seems really hard. But what if I told you I could draw a whole bunch of lines on it and then cut something out in it? And because I didn't want to spend the next 20 minutes doing it, I did already do this. But I promise you I'm not cheating here. But if you just cut this paper right, the same piece of paper, you see, love expands. So, who said they couldn't step through this piece of paper? Anyone want to try now? I'm just glad that didn't get caught up in my robe. So the sheep ascends from heaven, descends from heaven, and all the animals are in it, because God's love is for us all, and we are all in this expansive love of God. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Our first reading today is from Acts 11, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We will be singing the psalm this morning. It's found on page 6 of your bulletin, and we'll sing it responsively. I will begin with the light print. Please join in and sing the dark print. Psalm 148. From the heavens, praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts of heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars. And they were created.
Who made them stand fast forever and ever, giving them all that shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth. You see monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars,
wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds,
sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised up strength for the people and praise for all faithful servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near the Lord.
Reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, hear now the word. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the people, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Holy Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, it's been a long week at the church. A long, wonderful, rewarding week, but it's still been long. And I've been wrestling with our text and what to do with it today because we have this most wonderful and most beautiful of all passages in the Bible, I think, this Revelation passage. And so I wanted to say something about that, and then of course, as always, our gospel is just so wonderful and beautiful as well. And so how to tie it all in together. And I thought, and I risk sounding more like a lecturer today than a preacher, but maybe we should ask ourselves, what is the story we're telling ourselves? What is the story that the church is saying? Because oftentimes, and maybe it is the story we all grew up with, the story that is the stereotypical story of what the church says. They go something like this. If you're good enough, if you've done all the right things, and we Protestants might be minimalistic when we say all the right things, and we just say, accept a few things that are true, leave a few things, that's all you gotta do. But whatever it is, if you do those things, then you get the golden ticket to the rocket ship that takes you to heaven. So the story we hear is something like, we need to jettison earth and get ourselves into heaven. It's pervasive, isn't it? We see the cartoons of the people in the cloud with their harps and their wings. We may be secretly thinking that sounds pretty boring. We even have our own hymns that say it too, right? I'm not knocking anyone's favorite hymn. We do have a hymn that says, I will fly away, O Lord, I will fly away. And I'm not saying don't use that at a memorial service, if that's your favorite hymn, go ahead and still use it. But you see, we're telling us ourselves this story, that earth is bad, heaven is really good, let us get to heaven as fast as we can, that's the goal, leave this all behind. And of course, there's some truth to that. Like, we had a memorial yesterday, and in there are lots of passages about how we are kept safe in heaven with all the saints. But friends, we also have to at some point realize that heaven is this halfway house on our journey. When Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, when he gives a teaching about many mansions, all these words are referring to basically a wayside inn. Like, you're on a journey from here to the East Coast. You have to stop at a motel along the way for rest. Heaven is this place we can trust that when we pass on, we are held so close to the heart of God with everyone else who is in God that we are kept safe. But is that the final destination? If it is, resurrection doesn't make a whole lot of sense, folks. And we get this last chapter in our scriptures. So beautiful. The new Jerusalem descends from heaven onto earth. And the seer cries out, behold, God has made his home with mortals. It is the last chapter in our story. And we can only understand it really if we understand that it is playing the same song that the first chapter in Genesis is playing. And I know we have a hard time understanding the first chapter of Genesis as modern people because we're so caught in this science, faith, debate. We're trying to figure out if it's real history, is it myth, what's going on? We get confused. But the ancients were not confused. And this is where I risk being a little bit of a lecturer, and I'm going to go really fast because I don't have a lot of time. So if you have questions, we can talk about it later. But in the ancient world, temples were consecrated over 7 days. And each day of that 7 days, there is an element of the function of the temple that is brought in and set up. And then on the last day, the sixth day, the image of whatever God is going to reside in that temple is brought in. And then the seventh day, there's rest, meaning that God has now taken its home in that temple. You see, the first chapter of Genesis is God's temple project for earth. It is the place where heaven and earth will dwell together. You see, I think that is the story. How does God bring heaven and earth in unity together? The first chapter is a temple creation. The final chapter, the new temple in a new earth that has been reborn, descends to earth. The story, friends, is not how souls get to heaven. The story is how God brings heaven to earth. And we might ask, how does God do that? And the answer we get in Jesus' words, love does that. There's no other force in the world, energy or power, that can bring heaven to earth but love. You cannot drive out hate with hate. You cannot drive out darkness with darkness. You cannot drive out death with death. Only love can do that. Only light can do that. Only life can do that. The story is God outpouring God's self for the world. To be love, to be life, to be light. That, my friends, is how God brings heaven to earth. And so then we only sort of have a choice and an invitation. The choice is, do we sit and just wait for heaven to come to earth? Or do we participate in bringing heaven to earth? And of course, there's somewhat truth to both. It is somewhat of a waiting game, right? That is what faith is. We hope and we trust that God will be true to what God has promised. And yet, at the same time, the question remains. Do you want to sit in a hell on earth waiting for heaven on earth? Or do we want a little bit of heaven now? Do we want to participate in God's outpouring love for the world and say, I am going to have some heaven all the way till heaven comes to earth? And if you say, yes, I want that option, then Jesus' words speak to us. Because again, how do we bring heaven to earth? But through love. And this, of course, is where we as humanity get it wrong. We are more capable of bringing hell to earth than heaven to earth. And those who doubt me, just read any newspaper anywhere in the world. Because again, we think we can fight hate with hate, we can fight death with more death, and we run amok. That is why our story of how God brings heaven to earth is crucial. Because we cannot do it. So God, as true human, steps in and is the one person who can bring life and light and love to the world. But again, do we participate in that or not? The invitation, if we take it, is to be God's light and life and love to the world and work as God's hands in the world to bring as much heaven to earth as we can. And that is what we are trying to do every Sunday when we meet. We gather as this community to say we will love each other. We gather in the story of how God has come down to earth, brought heaven and earth to here. We come forward for the sacraments to receive the presence of heaven and earth in this moment so that we can go out and say, let's bring as much heaven to earth as we can in our lifetime. As Richard Rohr once said, it's heaven all the way to heaven. And that, my friends, is what Jesus says we will be known by as his disciples. He didn't say, they will know you're my disciples because you got all the right fancy answers, or the best music in the room, or the most accurate liturgy. He said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. Amen.
God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Fill the church with the spirit of your redeeming love. Make us steadfast in our proclamation of your grace for all people without exceptions, especially those often overlooked in our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Awaken joy in the beauty and abundance of your creation. Show us the wonder of your presence from the smallest flower to the tallest tree. Recommit us to preservation of wild places. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Instruct all world leaders to protect the most vulnerable among us. Guide those in power towards equitable and just economic policies so that all might have sufficient resources to live safely and with dignity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your love on all in need of care, those mourning losses, enduring trauma, experiencing broken relationships, yearning for companionship, or facing illness. Especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, Scott Wilson family, Dean, Ricardo, family of Gary Kober, Charles, Shauna, victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abide with all who are victims of racism, especially people who are doubly marginalized because of gender, sexuality, or ability. Destroy all forms of systemic oppression and renew our commitment to healing the wounds of our collective body in this community and beyond. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks for all the saints whose lives bear witness to your redeeming love. Guide us by their example until we join them in your eternal home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Thank you. I invite us now to come back together and please stand for our offering time. Gathered us around your table of grace along with these gifts we bring. Come among us again. Breathe your life into us and enliven us with this meal that we may live as your risen body in the world.
Amen. Amen. Given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me.
And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessings and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
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 Gather together as one, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited to come forward and receive from this table. In a moment, the usher will come forward, starting with one side and the next side. We ask you to fill in our rail from right to left. And you may receive communion in whichever position feels comfortable to you. You may receive it standing or kneeling. We only ask that you extend your hand out and the bread will be given to you. And then when the tray of the wine is passed around, you reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. And there is gluten-free options upon request. If you wish to come just for a blessing, you may also come. Just come with your arms folded. But know that this table is for all, and all who come will be fed. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Living One, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell of your wonders, sing of your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen. Amen.
Friends, we pause just briefly for some words of the week, for announcements, and in your bulletin is the words of the week with all the events going on this coming week, and we got a bunch of them coming up. And we just want to highlight that this Wednesday will be our last time gathering for hold and evening prayer and soup before that long summer break. So please come, sign up. I don't think we have anyone signed up to bring soup yet, so if you'd like to join us at 6 on Wednesday down below for a simple meal, and then at 7 o'clock we will meet up here for a hold and evening prayer service, and then we'll have a long break for summer and summer barbecues. So please be invited to the meal and to the prayer, or to either one, whichever one you feel inclined to come to. And also on Thursday, we are continuing our beach walks at 11, so if you'd like to walk on the beach with myself and whoever else shows up, come to the church at 11 on Thursday. And please pay attention to everything else that I'm forgetting to say in the words of the week. But with that all being said, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come, sovereign, Savior, and Spirit, light your way with resurrection dawn, now and always.
Amen. Amen.
God's work on earth, we're came to
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Go in peace. In Christ you are made anew. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
And dear friends, I forgot to mention that we have a lot of food out here. Thanks to the family of Jeanette who catered the memorial yesterday and left the food for us to enjoy. So with that being said, let's go and eat.